So we're going to continue on Oklahoma Zion on the Bays, third line of the wide lines. Second line, rather than the wide lines. All right. The Gemara says, Kisolik Isi Barhini, when Isi Barhini, that was his name, went up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei Rabbi Yechanan, the Kamasin Le Lebrei, he found Rabbi Yechanan was sitting and teaching his son, Rechei Lim. As it says in our Mishnah, that... So we said in our Mishnah that you need a certain minimum number of sheep to be chayiv and resh tagei. And we said the Shammai said shtei rechei lois, and the Sillel said chomish, and Rabbi Yosef ben Hurkin also mentioned chomish rechei lois. So he was teaching his son using the word rechei li. So the way we have the Girsa in front of us in the Gemara is that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who was teaching his son and was teaching him using the word rechei li. There's a different Girsa, Hagoyes Habach brings a different Girsa the other way around. Isi Barhini was teaching his son, Rechelim, and Rabbi Yochanan came to visit him.
Either way.
Anyway, whatever it is. Somebody was teaching his son, Rechelim. Omalei, so he says to him, either Rabbi Yochanan to Isi Barhini or vice versa, ask me a Rechelois, why are you learning Rechelim? Why not Rechelois, as we had it in the Mishnah? Omalei. So he says, Kedichdib Rechelim Mosayim. Because you have the word Rechelim as used in the Pasuk. Like it says, when Yaakov sent his gift to Esav, it says he sent him 200 Rechelim. So therefore, so yeah. Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan, or Isi Barhini, as the case, maybe tells him, don't do that. Loshen Torah la'atma, Loshen Chachamim la'atma. The Torah has its way of talking, the Chachamim have their way of talking. The Loshen in the Mishnah is Rechelois, therefore that's the wording you should be using. Some of them, of course, talk about the idea that the Chachamim did that in order to distinguish between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Marshar talks about the idea that the word rochel, he says, can also be, that besides that it means specifically a female sheep, is also a general name for the species. Sometimes, the same way as we call them tzoin, but also the species as a whole can be called rochel. So therefore, Rechelim versus Rechelois is more of a way of distinguishing between specifically the females, the ewes, versus the species as a whole. We said that Reis HaGeiz does apply to both males and females, as opposed to in Yaakov's tribute to Esav, he's sending ewes and he's sending males, it distinguishes over there, using Rechelim Masayim Ve'elim Esrim, he's sending him 200 ewes and 20 rams. So when you need to distinguish the ewes from the rams, then when you need to distinguish them, then you use the word rechelim for the females and then you mention elim for the males, as opposed to when you're mentioning the species as a whole, you should say rechelim.
That's the secondary explanation.
The main explanation is basically loshen Torah l'chod, loshen Chacham l'chod, but Marshall is explaining why indeed is there that distinction, because there's a distinction between ewes versus the species as a whole.
So the species usually are...
The species you would call with the feminine plural, the chelois, which in fact we find in other places. Yeah, in fact we find in other places in Shas, Marshall mentioned, we find in other places in Shas where the Mishnah talks generically about sheep and uses the feminine form.
Why do you use the feminine for species?
Same way as in English we use the word cow often to mean cattle in general, even though cow is strictly speaking. No, it's not actually. Cow actually is feminine. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I don't want to. You know, we're not going to get into English etymology too much, but also, what you should know, the common Indo-European word for sheep in English is the source of the word ewe in English. The word sheep in English comes from a different root. So you have a similar kind of specialization where the name for the species as a whole ends up being the name of the female only. It's a common thing. Yeah, so that's how it is. I guess not specifically, but I read about it. I guess the idea is, practically speaking, I mean, we see in this gift that Yaakov is sending to Esav, we see he sends 10 times as many females as males, and Rashi explains it there, because basically, once the females are pregnant, then the males have nothing to do, so therefore the males need a lot more females to keep them busy. The point is you don't need that many males in order to impregnate a bunch of females, so... Practically speaking, a herd of sheep more likely is going to have a lot more females than males. You don't need the males as much. You've told them more, so maybe that's the reason why it tends to be that the female word tends to be used as their name for the species as a whole. I don't know. Anyway, okay. Amalei. So then in continuation, so here.
Cows and bulls.
Yeah, could be. Amalei, so yes, so okay, she says to him, here it's definitely Rabbi Yochanan asking Isi Barini. Before, we said we were not sure which one it was that was teaching his son, and then the other one calling him on it, but now the next part is definitely Rabbi Yochanan asking Isi Barini. Amalei says to him, Man Resh Sidra B'Babel, who is the Rosh Hashiva currently in Babel? Sidra is another name for Yeshiva. Amalei Abba Aricha. So Isi Barini tells him, it's Abba Aricha. Abba, his first name was Abba. Rav's first name was Abba. Aricha means the tall one.
He was tall.
In fact, Rashi brings from a Gemara in Nida that he was Aruch B'Dor. He was the tallest person in his generation. Yeah. But that was the popular name he was known by. Amalei, sort of Yechanan, tells him Abba Aricha Parislei. You're just calling him Abba Aricha rather than calling him with a more bekavadik way like Rabbeinu. Let me tell you who Rav is. Dechirna, Rabbi Yochanan says, I remember, I remember when I was sitting in the yeshiva, 17 rows behind Rav, Kamei Rebbe, in front of Rebbe, was the Rosh Hashiva, so Rav is sitting closer to Rebbe, and Rabbi Yochanan, being one of the junior Talmidim, is sitting way in the back. You can see the back of his head, I guess. The Nask is cooking the Nur, the Pume de Rav, the Pume de Rebbe, and the Pume de Rebbe, the Pume de Rav. There are sparks of fire going back and forth between Rav and Rebbe. And they're talking a Torah on an extremely high level. Some of the sparks of fire are flashing between them. I didn't even understand what they're saying. So Rav is so much greater than me. Abba Aricha, and you're just calling him by a familiar title, Abba Aricha. Well, he didn't necessarily mean disrespectfully, but Rabbi Yochanan is informing him, you should understand who Rav is. You were in Babel recently. You just came from Babel, so you have to understand how great Rav is, and don't just call him by a casual nickname like that. Okay. Omelet you. So then, in turn, Isi Barhini says to Rabbi Yochanan, Reshus Hagez Bekama, what is the minimum amount that you have to have of wool to be chayiv in Reshus Hagez? Omelet Rabbi Yochanan Meshishim. So Rabbi Yochanan tells him 60, like we said earlier on the Omelet. That Rabbi Yochanan said even if you only have six, you have to give five to the kohen. So here he's saying Rashi gives two explanations. One is that he means you have to give 1/60th, and the other explanation is that that's much more obviously. So over here Rashi just says it means b'shishim sloyim. He's saying 60 sloyim. Soon the Gemara is going to point out that we have two different versions of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so wait. So he says 60. So he says v'anan b'chol shehin tnan. What do you mean? Our Mishnah says that the Chachamim say even if you only have kol shehin, so it should be much less than that. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan tells him im kein ma ben livolach. If so, if you think you understand it, then what's the difference between me and you? In other words, you think I don't know the Mishnah? You think I'm no greater than you? I also know the Mishnah, but I also know from my Rebbeim that when the Chachamim used the word kol shehein, they didn't mean literally any tiny amount. It's a guzma. They meant a lesser amount. They meant a lesser amount than what Rabbi Yosef and Hokinas are saying. But nevertheless, you still have some minimum. You still have a certain minimum amount, which is what I'm telling you. In other words, he's telling him basically, fine, you Isi Barhini, you're a Talmid Chacham, you know what the Mishnah says, very nice, but you should know, I have what my Rabbeim taught me, which goes beyond what the Mishnah says.
And he doesn't know.
So he didn't know beyond the Mishnah, but at least he didn't have the Kabbalah from his Rabbeim, that particular detail. And that's the Chabbat Yor has a famous tshuva where he talks about different places where Chachamim talk very dismissively to other Chachamim, and he mentions this one as an example. And he says, well, basically what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is you have to realize the value of that somebody learned from their Rebbeim, somebody was Meshamish Chachamim Chachamim, and they know details about the halacha that you don't necessarily know. We still have Shimush Chachamim Chachamim.
We have the Kabbalah.
No, I mean, we still have that the person learned from their Rebbeim, but I mean, for the most part, you have things are written down now. It's not learned so much about that anymore, but yeah. Still, I mean, you still have, though, halacha, you know, Pesach halacha is not just a mechanical thing. You don't just open up the Sfarim and Pesach in halacha. Once the Chachamim wrote it down for us in the Gemara, then, that becomes the final authority, basically. Rab Levik, the Rebbe's father, and by the way, today, as Man Groma to mention, today, Tet Nissen is the date that he was arrested by the Russians, exactly 80 years ago. So, uh, he has an explanation of the Kabbalah of this Gemara over here, explaining about the difference between Chelim and Rachelos, and why then the conversation continues with Rab being the Rosh Hashiva and how great he is. Basically, he has a long explanation how Rachelim, which is Lashon Torah we're saying over here, represents the combination of Chesed and Gvura, versus Rachelos, which is Lashon Chazal, represents the Gematria, it represents the Chasach Gvura, which are two Chasach, which are the name of Hashem, associated with giving out sustenance, and Gvura. And therefore, we associate it with Reishis HaGeiz, which is cutting the wool and giving it to the Kohen, who is the Isha Chesed, and therefore, Rabbi Yechon is stressing to him that therefore, here it's important to use the word Rachelos, because it represents the idea behind Reishis HaGeiz Beruchni. And then he goes on to explain the whole thing about the greatness of Rav and how Rav Yechon was saying I was sitting 17 rows behind and I couldn't understand. That has to do with that Issi Barhini thinks that Rav's greatness is only that he's bringing down Moichin to Abba, and Rav and Rav Yechon is informing him that he's much greater than that. He's bringing down much more than that. So a whole long explanation over there in the course of a different explanation. Okay. He also Rav Dini Yomer, when Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported Reishis HaGeiz, Rav Omer B'Shishim, V'Rav Yechon and Mishum Rav Yanai Omer B'Shish. That Rav says that you have to have at least 60, and Rav Yechon says in the name of Rav Yanai that you only need 6. Omer L'Rabbi L'Rav Dimi, so Rabbi says to Rav Dimi, now that you told us that, An Chaslon Chodah, by doing that, by telling us that, you've clarified, you've explained one thing for us, that it works with what we know already, but Ak Chaslon Chodah, but now on the other hand, you've told us something else that we find difficult to understand. You can say there's no contradiction in the two statements of Rabbi Yechanan where before he was saying 6, and now you're reporting, and where in the conversation that he had with Issi Barhini, he was saying 60, and you're reporting that he said only 6, and earlier on the Omer, we also said he said 6. That's not a contradiction because Hodi Dei, Hodi Rabbe. Because you can say, Rabbi Yechanan himself holds that you need 60. His Rebbe, Rabbi Yanai, held that you need only 6. So Rabbi Yechanan is reporting in Rabbi Yanai's name that you need 6, but he himself holds that you need 60. Okay. So that's for that. Ella adarav adarav kasha, but you seem to have a contradiction in Rav's statement. Da omer Rav monoprat, because Rav earlier on the Omer said that you need only monoprat. A mono being 25 sloyim means 37.5. So how are we saying 60? Now Rashi does bring another explanation that 60 over here may mean that you have to either that you have to give 1/60th to the Kohen, as we said before, or it may mean that you need at least 60 sloyim. But anyway, the point is. A pras is a half a mana, yeah. Pras literally means a half, yeah. So a mana is 25 and a half, and a half is 12 and a half, yeah. So you have a contradiction between the two statements of Rav. Before we said that he says mono pras, and you're telling us that Rav says 60. The answer is, Rav ad Rav nami lekasha. There's also no contradiction between Rav's two statements, my mana de ka'oma ben adboim sloy, because the kind of mana that Rav is talking about is not the regular kind of mana, which is only 25 sela. He's talking about a larger mana, which consists of 40 sela, to have a lay b'shishim. So then a mana of pras equals 60, 40 plus 20. So the question is, and then you give one sela out of that to the coin. So what do you mean? There's such a thing as a larger than usual mana. That's what we're saying.
Right.
So the question is, the Tani Tana mana, but I'm going sloyim. Where do you find a Tana talking about a larger mana of 40 sloyim? Rav is referring to our Mishnah, where Rav Yosef said mono pras, and the Chachamim say kol shehen, and Rav is saying that kol shehen just means that unlike Rav Yosef and Hokinas says that each of them has to have a mono pras, the Chachamim are just saying it has to be a mono pras between all of them. But Rav doesn't, but both Rav Yosef and the Chachamim presumably agree on the size of a mana. So where are we getting the idea that we're talking about a larger mana? The answer is ain. Yes, as a matter of fact, you find such a thing as a larger mana. V'hotnan, or v'hotanya really, because the b'raisa. Indeed, we find in a b'raisa, chemes chadosha, a new skin bag. So it was made out of leather, but you haven't yet finished sewing it up, so it still has holes or cracks in it a bit. Even though you could put pomegranates in there and they won't fall out. And usually a keli that has holes, the holes, cracks or whatever, we haven't sewn it up yet. No, we're talking about the actual rimon. We're talking about the actual pomegranate itself. So even if usually a keli is still makabel tuma if the holes are too small for pomegranates to fall out. So over here, you would think it's makabel tuma. No, tahora, it's not yet makabel tuma because it's not yet finished. it's not finished and ready for use yet until you finish sewing it up. Tough Ravnikra, on the other hand, if you sewed it up, so then you had Gmar Malacha, so now it became a Kavi, and now later on it ripped. So now it can be Makabal Truma once you finished it. The Nikra, later on it ripped. Shiura, Kamotzi Rimonim. Then the Shiura for it to be not considered a Kavi anymore would be if the holes are big enough for pomegranates to fall out. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, no, not when the holes are big enough for pomegranates to fall out, but rather Kepakiyos Shalshesi, when the holes are big enough for balls of thread of shesi of the warp threads when you set up a loom, you have the threads that go through the frames over there that stay in place. Those are called the shesi, and then you have the woof that goes back and forth, is the erev. So the shesi threads, typically the shesi threads are thinner than the erev threads because they just stay in place. The erev thread has to be a little thicker so it doesn't snap while you're doing it back and forth.
The shesi vertical?
Well, typically they'd be vertical. I mean, they could also be horizontal. Yeah, horizontal looms, yeah, whatever. The point is, they run the length of the cloth, and the erev runs the width of the cloth.
Yeah.
So the Lezman Yaakov says, Kepakiyos Shalshesi, it has to be in order for this bag that rips to not be Makabel Truma anymore, the holes have to be large enough for a ball of shesi thread to fall out. And how big a ball are we talking about? Achas me'arba b'mona ben aboim sloim, where the ball is the size of one quarter of a mona consisting of 40 sloim. In other words, that the ball weighs 10 sela. So we see from that there's such a thing as a mona of 40 sloim. We see from that discussion that there's such a thing as a mona of 40 sloim. So our Mishnah can be talking about that also. And therefore, achas me'arba, the mona ben aboim sloim, one quarter of a mona that consists of 40 sloim, meaning in other words that so one quarter of that would be 10 sela. So there you see that there's such a thing as a mona consisting of 40 sela.
Well,
25 to 40, yeah. Okay. But there exists such a thing anyway. Okay.
Because contain the silver?
I don't know. Maybe. But no, because we're talking about, maybe. I don't know. Whatever it is, such a thing exists, and therefore when Rav is saying mono pras, and then Rav Dimi reported that Rav had said b'shishim, it means the same thing. Okay, so who is the halacha like?
What's a mono? 25?
So usually a mono is 25, but here we're talking about it can be 40. Here we're talking about it's 40. So anyway, we're saying that Rav holds 60. So the halacha is, so what it is if we say that Rav says mono pras, and we're saying that it's also shishim, then it comes out Rav and Shmuel are saying the same thing. So then the halacha would be that it's 60. Rav had also mentioned the point of Avadshiyu Mechomashos, that it has to be that each of the sheep produces at least one-fifth of that total. So you can't have one of them is producing only 11 and another one's producing 13, then you'd be bother. The Rambam passes like that. Each one has to be producing at least 12, and the total has to be at least 60. Right. On the other hand, some of the Rishonim, if I remember correctly, the Rif, I don't remember exactly who, Paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, because in general, when you have Rav versus Rabbi Yochanan, usually that walk is like Rabbi Yochanan, that's 6. Okay. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, a common nose in Lechola, we said, how much do you give the Kohen? How much do you give the Kohen? So we said, you give him 5 sloim, weight of wool, 5 sloim in Yehuda, which equals 10 sloim in the Galil, of clean wool.
They all have the same weight?
Well, sloim and, more or less. I mean, although they were handmade, I guess they varied slightly, but basically, a sela was a weight.
How much did it weigh?
In modern terms, it weighs about 3/4 or 4/5 of an ounce. So we said you give him 5 sloim, you give him the weight of 5 sloim of, in Yehuda, of clean wool, tana, so we learn in a braisa, loishi yelabnenu v'yitnenu lo, the mission doesn't mean that first you bleach the wool of the lanolin and then you give it to him, rather, elishi yelabnenu, koyen v'yamid acham shloim, you have to give him enough that once he bleaches it, then he'll have 5 sloim wool, then he'll have 5 sloim weight of wool.
So what is it, 20% more?
I have no idea. I guess if you raise sheep for a living, then you know these things.
Okay.
The Kamenos in Lechola. If you want, go to the southwest. I believe the Navajo is raised sheep over there. You could ask them. I don't know. Okay. Fine. The Kamenos in Lechola. We said, how much do you give him? Okay, no, we just did that. Today, Lassus begged cotton. We said the reason why you should be giving him 5 sloyim is enough to be able to make a small garment. Samanahanimili. Where do we know that from? So here's where we have. We said before, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar Kra, because the pasuk says Lamed L'Shores. The pasuk says, the pasuk right after Resh Tageiz says that the Kohen is standing to serve, implying Davar Shu Roy L'Shidros. It has to be something which is suitable for serving in the Beis Hamikdash. My new Avnei. Namely, what is that? What is the smallest beggar that the Kohenim wear in the Beis Hamikdash? The Avnei, the belt. The belt. The belt that the Kohenim wore was not. It was made out of. So the Gemara is going to talk about soon. We know the one of the Kohen Gadol was made out of Tchelas Ba'Gomen Selas Shani V'Sheshmosh. So it was made out of three different colors of wool plus linen. The Kohen Hedya says we're going to say in the Gemara in a second. There's Machloitis. And then the one he wore on Yom Kippur was all linen. But the one that the Kohen Gadol wore, and according to one opinion, the Kohen of Yotim, included wool. And the Chachamim, know that the amount of wool that you can use, that can be used to make that belt would be five sloyim's weight. You'd need a certain amount of linen also, but the total weight is more. But hey, I guess because they asked the people who are making the bigger corner and found it out.
Five sloyim.
Five sloyim weight of wool. Yeah. So you're talking about 4 ounces. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, Amim Il. How do you know it's the smallest garment? Maybe it's the Me'il, which is much larger, and it's made all out of wool. The answer is the famous answer. It's a faster merubala. It's a faster. If you grab a lot, you have nothing. If you grab a little bit, then you have it. How does it apply over here? So Rashi actually starts by bringing a brisa in connection with last week's parasha about the Zava, that when the pasuk says Yomim Rabim, we know that it means three. And we use this rule of tafasta meruba, lo tafasta, which means basically, if you were going to argue that it means some larger amount, you're going to argue it means 4 or 5 or 10 or whatever, well, where are you getting doubt to that? Maybe it means less. That's tafasta meruba, lo tafasta. If you try to grab a lot, you don't have anything. Tafasta mort. But if you want to say that the mort, yomim definitely means at least two. Rabim must add at least one more day, so therefore three. So therefore, so we can know that it means that. So the same way over here, you want to argue that it means I'm ill, I can tell you, okay, but the fact of the matter is the Avnet is one of the big day kahuna as well. Why should you exclude it? So if you say the Avnet, okay, it has to be the Avnet, there's nothing small.
There's nothing smaller than
the Avnet in terms of weight, right.
And that was five
sloyings of wool, right. Okay. The aim of Kippah Shol Tzemer, however, the Gemara says, what about, though, maybe actually the beged that we're talking about is the woolen cap, which went together with the tzitzit. So what do we mean by that? Tanya, we learn in a blazer. Kippah Shol Tzemer Hoseh Munachas Barosh Kohen Gadol. There was a woolen kippah, a woolen cap on the head of the Kohen Gadol. 1 second. V'aleha tzitz nosun, and then the tzitz was placed on top of that. L'kayim mashenem, v'samta oseh, still v'chelis. This fulfills what the pasuk says, that you should place it on a twisted thread of tzitz. So we usually, when you know, like when the kids dress up as Kohen Gadol for Purim or whatever, or when you see it in pictures or whatever, you usually see it shown as like you have one thread of chalas, which goes through a hole in one side of the tzitz and then is doubled over to go to the back, and the same thing the other, and the same thing, and then according to Rashi in the middle as well. So one possibility is that's what we mean by the kippah shel tzemer. It's shaped sort of like a half. So you have two on the sides and one in the middle. You have a couple of the Rishonim, for example, Rabbeinu Hananel and some others understand that the Pesilas Chelas was actually something more like a headband that went under the tzitz, and then the tzitz was placed on top of it. Anyway, the point is that's much smaller than the Avnei, so maybe then, and that was also made out of wool, because Chelas is dyed wool, so maybe that's what the pasuk is referring to. No, the answer is, Omakra hu uvonav. Yes, but the pasuk mentioned, the pasuk doesn't say that the Kohen stands there and serves. It says that he and his sons, implying Dovah Shovel Aaron Levon. So we have to be talking about some kind of garment which is equally shared by Aaron and his son. That can't be the fit. Well, it can't be the fit or the cap, right? And for that matter, the portion point out, it can't be the meal also. So aside from Pavasta Marubal at the pasta, we know it can't be the meal for that reason. Because the meal was also kind of right. So the question is Avnet and Amilo Shabi. Okay, but the Avnet is not the same between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot either. So Hanichalamanda Omar Avneta Shokain got a loy zero Avneta Shokain head yet Shapir. So okay, according to the opinion that the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol on that the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is not the same as the Avnet of the regular Kohen, because we know the one he wore on Yom Kippur was only linen, and the Gemara discusses in Yoma and a couple of other places whether the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year wore the same one, also made out of linen. If you say that, Shapir, well then fine. Then we say, in other words, the Kohen Hedyot does not wear one out of only linen. He also wears the same Kilayim one as the Kohen Gadol does the rest of the year. Well then fine. In that case, they're wearing the same Avnet. Gemara's going to answer. But wait, right now the Gemara's assuming it has to be the same make. So therefore, if you say that the two types of Avnet are Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot throughout the year versus Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, well then good. The Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year are wearing the same Avnet. El Olamanda Omer Zero Avnet Shal Kohen Hedyot. But according to the opinion of the Avnet that Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur, which is all linen, is the same type of Avnet that the Kohen Hedyot wore the whole year round, also only linen. My equal member, then what are you going to say? The fact is then only the Kohen Gadol is wearing an Avnet that includes wool. The answer is, okay, shame Avnet for Olam. Okay, as you said, the point is, there is a beggar called an Avnet, which both the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot wear. Fine, it may be made differently according to that opinion, but it's both called Avnet, as opposed to the Kippur Shel Tzemer is unique only, and the Me'il, for that matter, is unique only to the Kohen Gadol. Okay, fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Lo Yispik Litnei V'chol, we said, if you didn't have a chance to give the wool to the Kohen before you dyed it, then we said you potter. And then the Mishnah continued. You have cases over there where you bought wool that's still attached to the sheep from the goy, so where the goy owns the sheep, but you're going to be shearing them. So we said you potter. So now we have a discussion like this. Gozal umacha rishon. What happens if the person sheared one of the sheep? And then he sold it. It could mean either that he sold the fleece, or it could mean that he sold the sheep as a whole. We talked about a different case where a person sheared one year and then sheared another year, and after a while, he has a pile of five. Here's kind of the opposite of that. We know that you have to have five. We're saying, according to the Bittil, you have to have five. But suppose he sheared one sheep, and then he sold it. He sold the sheep as a whole, or he sold the wool, whatever. So, and then he keeps on doing that. So is he chayev? Rav Chista am a chayev. Rav Nathan bar Hoshi am a potter. Rav Chista says he's still chayev in reishis hageiz, because the fact is there was geiz soncha, because when he sheared them, each one belonged to him. And Rav Nathan bar Hoshi says potter. Rav Chista am a chayev to have gozal, because after all he sheared the sheep, and therefore he's chayev. Rav Nathan bar Hoshi am a potter. The idna the kamala shiura, because when you have the complete shiur together, when you have the five fleeces together, but in a stone kavalaka, at that point it has to be your sheep and a pasul. You sold the sheep. Okay, let's look at our Mishnah. Tshnan, we learned in our Mishnah. One second. We're going to get to that. The shiur does not begin necessarily when you start the shiur. No, so it doesn't necessarily. And we know, and in fact we know that because if you have to have five sheep to be chayev, then it means you're not chayev until you shear five sheep.
No, but if you have five and you begin with one.
No, that's the point. The Gemara is going to establish soon that you're not chayev in Reishis Hageiz. Okay. So, Tnan, let's see what the Mishnah says. How the keach geiz tzornishal over to chavim. If the person buys the wool from, if the yid buys the wool from the goy, again, he buys it while it's still attached to the sheep. So he said, potter mideshes hageiz, implying hatsoni ligzis chayev, but implying that if he had bought the actual sheep itself, then hatsoni ligzis chayev, implying that if he bought the sheep in order to shear them, in other words, what he did is the goy says, I'm selling you these sheep until you shear them, and then you have, 1 second. The Mishnah was talking about a case where you bought only the fleece from the goy. So the sheep belong the whole time to the goy. You just bought the fleece. You're going to shear them and keep the fleece. You can have another case though. But the Mishnah seems to be implying only in that case are you potter. But if you bought the sheep, where the deal is I'm buying the sheep until I shear them, and then after that, the sheep go back to your possession, the Mishnah seems to be implying chayev. So the question is, am I now? Because otherwise the Mishnah should have mentioned that case. So therefore, so am I now? According to Rav Nathan bar Hoshi, why should that be so? Kol chad v'chad b'osad gizin nafkalei mirshuse. As soon as he shears each one, it leaves his possession. So therefore, you should be potter in that case also. So according to Rav Nathan bar Hoshi, the Mishnah could have mentioned such a case where he bought the sheep temporarily until he shears them. The answer is Tirgum Rav Chista Alibed Rav Nathan bar Hoshi. Rav Chista explained it according to Rav Nathan bar Hoshi. Suppose that They suppose that the goy sold them to the Jew where he owns the sheep for the next 30 days. It actually says it doesn't have to be 30 days per se, but the point is, yeah, five sheep. He's not necessarily 30 days, but in other words, that he owns them all until he's finished the shearing. So therefore, at the time when he's finished, fine. So in that case, that could be what the Mishnah is talking about. So in that case, he'd be chayav. So therefore, so... No, so that's the answer. So the Mishnah is implying that if he bought only the fleece, he's potter, implying, but anything more than that, he'd be chayav. Why is that? Because we're talking about a case where he didn't just buy it until I finished shearing each individual sheep, but he bought it until I finished the entire shearing of all the sheep. So then in that case, yeah, why not? You can make it any tonight you want when you buy and sell things. So therefore, even according to Nassim Bachar Shia, you'd be higher because when you finish shearing the fifth sheep, they still all belong to you because they finish and they still belong to you until you finish shearing all of them. Okay.
If you have five, and you start shearing, you're the five, and you start shearing one, technically...
Next piece of your mind. The halacha, by the way, the post can pass on like Rav Chista for a couple of reasons, one of which that Rav Chista is, first of all, the Mishnah works out more straightforwardly according to Rav Chista, and also because Rav Chista is Mora de Gemara. He's much more a well-known Amora and a much more generally accepted opinion Amora than Rav Nassim Bahar Mishnah. Okay, fine. Then we said halakeh, so the halacha is like Rav Chista, that even if you sold each one individually after you sheared it, you're still chayav. Okay, then we said out of keach geis tonin shachaver. We said that if a person sells, that if a person buys the wool from somebody else, so we said it depends whether it's, so we said if the seller had left over some animals for himself, then he's chayav in reishis hageis on the whole thing, and if not, then the buyer has to take reishis hageis on behalf of his own. Man tana de hecha de ikashiura gabi moser, which tana is it that says this idea that when the seller leaves over something for himself, where he didn't sell the entire thing, that bosom moser as linen, that we would go according to the seller and he would be chayav to give on behalf of the whole thing. Amar Rav Chista Rav Yehuda, he said Rav Chista says that would be according to Rav Yehuda. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Peah, ha moser kilche ilon besech sadehu. If a person sells individual trees in his field, the Rashi explains, kilchei means literally stalks. It means this isn't a field of mostly trees. It's mostly a field of grain. There happen to be a couple of trees growing in it. So he's selling those. Notes in peah, l'chol echad ve'echad, he has to give peah for each tree individually. Because the person who bought the trees has to give peah for each tree individually. Om Rabbi Yehuda Emesai, Rabbi Yehuda says, when does that apply? Bizman shalai shir ba'al asadeh. When the owner of the field didn't keep any trees for himself. Aval shir ba'ala sadeh, but if the owner of the field kept any trees for himself, then the entire chiyuv is still on him, and therefore he gives peah. So Rashi actually uses the expression that he gives peah from the grain on behalf of the tree. Now usually you don't give peah from one species on behalf of another, so one explanation is over here because basically it's a field of grain, and therefore the trees go along with it. Different explanation, I think the choice was that Rosh says that maybe actually what it means is he'd have to give peah from his tree on behalf of all the trees and from his field on behalf of the field, whatever, anyway. Okay. So therefore, so we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you kept the tree, and the Chachamim would agree with that, because the Yehuda is not disagreeing with the Chachamim. So therefore, so that's what it means. Therefore, he left over some of it for himself, therefore he's chayav for the whole thing. The same thing here in our Mishnah, he left some of the sheep for himself, so he's chayav in the whole thing. Amalei Rava. However, Rava says to Rav Chista, "V'hamar hu da'amar, didn't you, Rebbe, also say v'hu shehischa ba'al asada lichter, that this din only applies if the owner of the field started harvesting before he sold the trees, because you chayev and pay as soon as you start harvesting?" V'chitema hofana. But in other words, if he had sold them before he starts harvesting, then yeah, it's a separate thing. But once he started harvesting, that's when the chiyuv is chal. So you're going to argue the same thing over here. As soon as he starts shearing the sheep, he's immediately chayiv in reishis hageis. You're going to say as soon as he started shearing, he's chayiv. But no, it's not the same thing. Over there, by peah, the expression is when you harvest, the harvest of your land. As soon as you start harvesting, you're chayav in the entire field to take peah. Here, when you start shearing, you're not yet chayav in the entire flock, because the pasuk doesn't say big zozchem when you shear. It just says geiz soncha. Once you have geiz, once you have fleeces that you've shorn from your sheep, geiz means that it's shorn already. Yeah. So there's a difference. So you can't say that our mission is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, Rava says, no, our Mishnah is like the following Tana. It's not a question of whether the seller keeping something for himself means that he's higher than the whole thing. It's a question of when you're selling, are you selling it in such a way where you're preventing, where you're taking away from the mitzvah? Do you have the right to sell things in such a way where you're making it that you don't have to do the mitzvah? So like this, you're gonna sell your fleeces, and then it's not gonna be gay soncha, and then you're gonna be potter. Can you do that where there's not a korna involved? The high tano, it's the tano of the following mishnah, which we learned in the previous parak, this man, omolay mecholi b'nei me'er shal porazu. If a person says, sell me the inner organs of this cow, v'hoya b'hen matonis, and he said, suppose there were matnas korna among them, because the keva, the fourth stomach, is one of the matnas korna, noisna mecholi, and he has to give that stomach to the kohen, v'ein menakolim in adam, and he doesn't get a reduction in the price, because the other guy didn't, in effect, the other guy didn't sell it to him. On the other hand, if he bought something by weight, then the other guy had no business weighing it out for him. He sold something that doesn't belong to him. He still has to give it to the coin. And he has to deduct from the price. So therefore, we see that the person doesn't sell the matonis. A person doesn't sell the matonis of the coin. So therefore, in other words, when he bought something by weight, that's fine. He actually weighed it out for him.
If he weighed the whole thing,
then includes the matonis. But if he said, I'm buying it by weight, but if he bought the whole animal without weighing it out, it means there was no intention to sell the matonis. Therefore, the seller never charged him for the matonis. Therefore, he doesn't get a reduction in the price. Hanami, the same thing over here. Matonis tikkurin le'mazvinish. The same thing over here. A person doesn't sell the matnas korna. Tilkach, therefore, shir ha-moicher. So if the seller keeps some of the sheep for himself, moicher chayev, and the seller is chayev, do'amule lekeach, matona dekoyin, gabachi. Because lekeach can tell him, usually a person doesn't sell matnas korna. I'm entitled to assume in that case that you never intended to sell the matnas korna. Therefore, you didn't sell me the part. You didn't sell me the five sloim or whatever that has to go to the koyin. So therefore, the matana of the koyin is by you. Therefore, you're obligated. Loy shir, but if he didn't leave anything over, if he sold all of the animals or all of the wool, lekeach chayev, then the lekeach is going to be chayev. The amalei mocha matana of the koyin lezabimach. Because then it's the other way around. The seller can say, I didn't charge you for the matana of the koyin. I know that there's matnas korna in there. I know there's a certain amount has to be given to the koyin, and therefore I never charged you for it. So in the same vein, therefore the lekeach is going to have to get it.
If you sell this.
If he sold it, the whole thing.
Then the buyer
has to give it, because then the seller can tell him, when I sold it to you, I intended that I'm not selling the whole thing. I'm not selling you the matnas korna. Therefore you have wool in there that doesn't belong to you. Give it to the kohen. As opposed to if he kept some sheep for himself, then the other way around, the lekeach can tell him, yeah, you don't sell matnas korna. So I would assume that you sold whatever you sold me is an actual sale. It belongs to me, and therefore you still have five sloim. Let's give it to the client. So you have to give it to the client. Okay. Hadron halacha reishis again.